wealth of knowledge, and he's going to talk with us about parcel number. Sorry, probably then. Okay, all right.
Thank you. This is my 30th year attending this conference since they started. I may be the sole survivor of the original group. Anyway, I'm glad to see new faces. And before I start, just maybe one or two disclaimers. I never had this round figure and gray hair. This is after 30 years of work. And the other one is, by no means, by reading the title of the presentation, means that I don't like Parcel Fabric. Frank, my good friend, will hate me if I said that. But it's just, you'll see what I mean. But by no means, I'm trying to say that don't use it. It would be very good for some people. It's not good for what we're doing right now. But it's good, you'll see. Oh, let's go. So this is basically the topics. This is gonna be the presentation kind of in line with what the first two presenters, Julie and Jim, did. Just, I'm not gonna go through such detail. Julie asked me to talk about different topics, so the geobase and data fabric, or parcel fabric. Also mentioned something about our training, how we track our job assignments, and how we do what we do. Our production of maps, and then a few questions, so feel free to interrupt if you wish. Yeah. Why we use GeoDatabase. If you look at our assessor maps or any assessor maps, and you try to go down to find the most common denominator, all you have is points, lines, what seems to be polygons, and text. So when we decide to do the move from manual to automation, in those days, we're using another CAD package, which is computer vision. The idea was to just mimic what we had. We didn't want to complicate ourselves. And at this time, when I say our, it was like me. So I was trying to come up with the ideas in how to automate our maps. So that's basically what I thought is, well, this is simple design. Why switch? If you think of a great literature, works, it's all an alphabet, 26 or 29 characters, depending if you're Anglo or Hispanic. And with that, you have great things accomplished. If you look at computer automation, it's all zeros and ones. It's simple. It depends what you do with that basic information. So that was my original thinking. So that's why we stuck with a very simple approach. When we decided to move to automation, what I did is, all we have is boundaries, parcels, which are our polygons, and to keep the relationship between those two, we have topology, which are rules that tell us what boundary goes where, how things fit together, relationship between different components. This is very simple. So sometimes get complicated because people want so many things. And what you have to do is, with basic information, how to provide maximum coverage, which is what you do in literature, programming, anything. So Esri at that time had a lot of different tools at hand, and I'm going to jump to the present. Because we went through, from computer vision, which was a Cadillac program, to something called System 9, which was a view many years ago of the future. The software was ahead of its time. Hardware wasn't able to support it. But you see, if you saw System 9, it's like you're looking at Parcel Fabric today, only like 20 years ago. So the concept was there. Then we switched to Esri for 24, 25 years now. And we use everything that they have except Parcel Fabric. So from everything that Esri had to available, we just took the simplest concept, which is a feature database. We never use shapefiles, by the way. We went to cover edges to a geodatabase. We always use topologies. You can see that the components of a feature data set is a collection of feature classes. And a feature class could be points, lines, polygons. You can have many of them, mix and match, and maintain sync, everything in sync by using topology. There's another whole slew of applications, terrain, network, geometric, parcel fabric. We stick with the basic. But you see in this area, so basic rules, which by the way, they're pretty similar, if not the same, as Parcel Fabric, just in case we have to ever decide to use Parcel Fabric. So at least our basic foundation is in compliance with other developments. So we're not closing the door to anything. And that's just a pictorial representation of what each one of those rules mean. Now, another reason that we use land-based or geodatabase, we call it land-based, that's the name we gave to our geodatabase. It's the attribute portion. Our boundaries or lines, we only have the COGO, which is the information you need to run traverses, one identifier for layers, so it helps with symbology. And the shown index is kind of a weird one, maybe only used for in LA. Because we show some lines one way in the regular page, but we change the different font to when we show it on the index page of a MacBook. For example, a channel, some freeway runs, and that's all. So it's very, you can live without that one. Our parcels, our polygons, the only information we keep there, everything you see in red, we use for what we call a parcel change application, which is an application that keeps track of all the new parcels created to be creating records in our property database, which is a legacy system. Somebody mentioned COBOL. Yeah, we still use COBOL too. And the three black dead attributes is just to keep track of who's doing who, who's messing up, so I can get mad. And and the global ID is part of our general distribution method. We replicate our geodatabase for distribution to other counties, to the public and everything. And that's an ID number that has to be there, built by the system, maintained by the system. Again, our topology rules, very simple. Five applied to the lines and one to the polygons. And you notice the boundary must be covered by the polygon, might be coincident with the boundary. So the system will flag any place where you go out, so you always know. We have a distribution of people that do productions or do checking, and I'll get into that a little bit later. So that's why this is important for us. Again, trying to keep it to the simplest possible way. Now, I mentioned that you can build a lot of things with very simple data. And this is an example of what we have done. Not only we do the accessor map pages, we also produce maps like clusters, which is what appraisers use to do their work. They put together what they call economical units or parcels that have similar characteristics and create different types of clusters for single family residential, residential income, condominiums, commercial industrial, So we put together matrix and create the service map for them. Communities. In LA, we have 88 cities, plus the county unincorporated. Unincorporated has 36 communities within, and everybody is always asking, what are the boundaries? Even city of LA has 30 or 40. So we map all those two, the boundaries. We show the location for district offices. We have four big mega districts and all the regions. These are real estate, real property regions, which are 12 of them in the county. All that is to help the appraisers. We have 600 plus of them to organize and coordinate the work. We build based on these same principle points, lines, and polygons. All our tax rate areas. We have over 9,000 track, different track numbers, and we have 22,000 polygons. As a friend used to say, you are only one county. Well, we're one county, but we have about 25% of all the workload of the states. It's a little bit of field books. That's what our major personal properties, some will call it business personal properties. That's what they distribute our offices. It's over 300,000 of them in LA County, and we map them all. And we create a book, the boundaries of the books. We also map the marinas. It's over 100 of those in the county. Starting with Marina Ray, which is the largest. We map the docks, all the floating docks, the runways, the location of the vessels, and we are building mobile applications for canvassing data as well. Manufactured homes or mobile homes, we map the parks as well as the sites. Every single trailer or house, or everything is done. And then we build applications for web, mobile, canvas, anything. All that is done just by mapping. We're kind of a what is that, girl? Bastard child of the assessors? That's us. We vote by ourselves. Nobody wants. I changed that to foster child. All they want is our money. They don't want us. Take care of us. Now, the reason we spend in so many things is because our interaction with the rest of the county. And by the rest of the county, I mean other county departments. There are 8 major departments that they all have their own GIS groups, but everything that they built relies on our parcel base. So unlike other counties, as I hear over and over, what the assessor needs, the assessor built. Everything is done in-house. We don't take any data or let anybody do our job. We're pretty picky on that. But we do love to share. So I'll take any information that we have done in the past that any city has that provide us. We make that fit into our base, and then we share it back with the community. And for years, I was kind of blacklisted in the county because the county was in a marketing mall, and I wanted to share it free. So I was away to watch meetings and things like that. So I was kind of a rebel stealer. Anyway, so we link to all the cities. The way we do this is to get, we implemented about 10 years ago an enterprise GIS project for the county. We have a GIO, Geographic Information Systems Officer. They have a team under ISD that deals with this, that coordinates only. But each department has its own individual GIS groups. And all the data that we produce, all county departments, gets fed or copies into this data repository. And we have this amount of data there. It's over 400 different GIS layers. Anything that you can think of, we have them. And it's accessible, available to everybody. And the best thing is that everything is registered to our parcels. So we command, and by we, I mean all of you, should think of that. You command what any county can do. That's important. No, I don't think. Close your eyes. Close your ears. Well, very simple. To use or not to use. Parks and Fabric is very, very good product. It's stable, as far as I know. It can do a lot of different things, maybe better than what we do if we are doing things, but simply it doesn't fit. Let me see how I can explain this better. But let's say that you go to Beverly Hills and want to buy an Armani suit. It looks very good on a model, male or female. But when you feel it on them, it doesn't look the same. It doesn't, you know. And it costs like $3,000 when you go to Target or Macy's, and $500, $300, you get a good fit. That's how I can compare parts of fabric. So it's a good product. It's probably out of our league right now. The main issues I have until this point with parts of fabric is the size of our database. We have close to 2.5 million polygons, over 10 million line segments, plus all the attributes and location and all that stuff. That takes a lot of storage management, database-wise. I spend actually a week doing holistic testing in Esri. I go there often. They're having a little cubicle with me, my neighbors. So I spent time, very good friends. But I took a sample test. Public Works, Fellows for Public Works also went along. We learned about 25,000 parcels. The size of the data, tenfold. So we have this, you're talking near terabytes of data, just to do assessor maps. A little bit complicated from the side. Second issue I had is with plotting. Our plotting is very simple. But one characteristic of our maps, and I think that's true with all assessor maps, they have to be permanent. The moment you draw a line, you don't want that line shifting every time you print a new map, because you automatically add a new subdivision and everything registered and adjust, because somebody in another department wants to adjust the database. And then you bring out your map, and no, nothing matches. So that's kind of the issue. The third one is the data and exchange. As I mentioned before, we interface with practically everybody. With the data as data, that means that everybody will have to be with Parks and Fabric. All the time I've been studying and using and testing it, I have never seen these three topics really covered deeply. So that's what we haven't decided. Other than that, everything's good. There's a little more detailed information about these three topics. Database size. When you have a land base, you have a few polygons with lines. Basically, for each polygon, you have four lines. But the same line between two first polygons, it's only one. In parcel fabric, each polygon has its own line. So you have two adjacent parcels, you have two lines. If the parcel, if you have on top a subdivision, now you have the boundary line for the subdivision. So you have three lines of the same. And if you go over and over, on and on, the list goes on. That's how we come up with the size of the database. So not that it's wrong, it's just that we have very limited resources, even if you don't believe it, in LA County with money. So at least for mapping, we don't get a lot of funds. So we have to do with what we have already. Then there is the extra types of information, points for control, for cadastral control, for base control, for lines. You have to create polygons for streets. That's why it's called a fabric. Everything has to be seamless. We don't build polygons for streets. We don't need them. And that's another interesting point. You have to have people sharing and pulling out. And we are kind of distrustful persons. I don't trust anybody outside my group. So if I need to produce, if I have a deadline, within a week of recordation, we're already producing the mats. Now, I don't care if the rest of the world fell down, we did our job. If I have to rely, the public works have to do this portion, regional planning has to do that, before I can do anything, that's non-acceptable in my book. So that's an issue I have. Again, besides going this time back to attributes, you saw a list of attributes, yes? 18, 19. With database in Parcel Fabric, all those over there, I think just the first column have more attributes than what we need for everything. And then we have the rest. And these are only the attributes that are mandatory. If we need our 19 attributes, we have to add them on top of that. So the thing keeps on growing and growing. So it has to do with size. Plumbing. You see at Naperville, East Coast, somewhere over there. It's a map, East size map. It looks nice, it looks clean. I have no problems with that. It shows what needs to be shown. So we think. This is how the city does its assessment maps. And we don't do it like that. It's a clean, neat map, but we're spoiled. Our customers are spoiled. They want to see a lot of information. So we need to figure out how to do that in Parcel Fabric. This is a typical assessment map in every county. Smaller in size, the other one was an east size. We do our plotting, we show a lot of information that needs to be there. We only want to show information for the assessed parcel or the assessed area on that page. Even though we show all the language for reference so you know where you are, only assessing information assigned to that page has the attribute and everything has annotation. So it's clear. The other one, everything has to have everything. Either it's a rectangular grid, assessor maps are anything but rectangular. So, now that's what we do. You see, this is a very complex map. Still, all that was done with just three attributes. Very simple. Once the map is printed, we export that to PDF, and state that we have history in PDF from the past since 87, 85. So we need to make sure that we can live with that. The third point I mentioned is that about sharing. Everything, anybody, county, state, other cities, taxpayer, private companies, organizations, quasi-government, they all rely on what we need, what we have. Remember, everything in LA County now is built based on a parcel. So every change that we do impacts everybody else. Everything that happens outside boundaries, we have to reflect to. So this needs to be very seamless, very transparent, very easy to maintain. Sure, it sounds a lot when you say, oh, we have 40 people in mapping. But then again, the workload is huge also. We do anywhere with 20,000 new parcels every year. Sometimes that's as many parcels as a small county has. Okay, so Parcel Fabric is not as simple as just applying Parcel Fabric. I have one of my experts that accompany. She was sent to do everything that needs to be known about Parcel Fabric. She likes it a lot. We use them, but it's not quite ready for what we need to do. Little few things to need to be ironed out, and yeah, why not? We can also use it. But not for the time being. So we have many decisions to make. Still the time is not there, but we'll see what the future holds. We're always open. Okay, now training. That's an interesting topic, at least in Erie County. We don't have a lot of funds to be sent to personalized training, like going to Redlands or any other place to do training. Because, you know, Carrasco mapping training, the way we do Carrasco mapping, there is not a school for that anywhere. You have to know a little bit of everything. Julie made a short list of a lot of things. She forgot to add it. Well, you have to be a little bit crazy too. So what we do is, we only have two paid means. By paid means, I mean that we are only those two items on a budget. One is to attend the ESRI conference, since everybody is ESRI in a mapping group. And the other one is to attend this conference. So there's no money for schooling or anything, nothing like that. So we have to make the best out of all these conferences. And trust me, even though these are smaller counties than LA County, I always learn a lot of these conferences. These are pretty good. Anyway, so we have to give our own training. We train other people from ownership. We have to specialize in that. We do our GIS training in-house, because I have to kind of translate what GIS is for the rest of the world and what is really needed for our mapping needs. We even train, that was a little bit presumptuous there, but other counties, because when we do these talks and talk to people offline, we're trying to teach them something that we do that may save them some headaches, hopefully. We even train our appraisers, even though they're the prima donnas in every county, and we have 700 of them. We have to train them. People like our training way, though. I don't know why, but they're so eager to jump when they say, oh, we're going to have these trainings. So everybody goes there, you know, despite the floods that happen in LA, without the rain we get. But these are appraisers, you know, very composed, serious, looking at them, something, concentration to the max. But not always like that. We have some time for, you know, a little bit lighthearted. Well, this looks more like my mapping crew when they go to the training. I think that was... But when we are in the training, this, by the way, my one portion of our crew in mapping, the guy was there and maybe he's not here. Some other people. Interesting thing when you see pictures like this is that you see all sorts of characteristics of your staff. For example, you have the guy that thinks he knows already everything. The guy said, it's a terrible morning. I knew that. I better do something else. Overachiever. How much? This how you have to do it. Let me do it. Let me tell you. One of our supervisors. Very good. And then we got the guys that gets the crown, I guess, in training. The guy that is always prepared. We got a friend here. One paper bad note is not enough. He did three. One bracelet? No, you have to have two just in case one fell down. Glasses. If there's too much glare, you need to wear glasses. So they love the training. They're very enthusiastic. The best part, though, is the celebration. Once they finish training, we get together for teas and cookies, but not quite. But you get the idea. So that's how we implemented training. Luckily, everybody appreciates the effort we go through. We don't get extra paid for doing that. Gary and I spend a lot of time preparing for those things and being willing to do training. I was asked by Judy also to talk about tracking job assignments. Well, in general, every company receives all the information that they need to process the job. Register recorders, other agencies, LAFCO, state board, even property owners when they want you to merge, split parcels, things like that, right? Well, for that, we have a little internal access database. It was written in DB3, 20-something years ago. We just upgraded every year with a new version of access. All we do is just to keep track of all the incoming work, keep track when it goes to production, when it goes to check-in, and when it goes back already set up for distribution. With this simple application, we know who did what page of the book was affected, what document number, what page, and we have maintained this for many, many years now. Cindy. A regular workflow that we keep track of that, it's just once engineer receives the job, the unit leader or his assistant does a spot checking. If clear, it goes to the checking unit. We have three production units and one checking unit. So our checkers are the junkyard dogs, that's the expression. They don't let anything go by their hands. Single things, it goes by. And they make sure to check both the mats, paper finish product, as well as the database integrity. There's some flags that they do use to check that. If there is a problem with the checking or with the project, the checker or the supervisor goes back and talk to the supervisor of the production unit, not to the worker. And the passer used to go directly, that creates a lot of frictions and complaints. So everything goes to the supervisor, he passes it on to the engineer, goes back to checking, and then to full production, what we call gets ID. All that stuff doesn't move around without the top command, so that's my joint chief of staff. You notice has a very colorful unit? No, never hates that. He's a black and white guy. So, fortunately, we forced Twisty Sun to get him more blue on that one. Anyway, so those are our supervisors, and that's the keep track of the units. That's one of the standard units, they all look the same. The three production units, you have 8 engineers and one supervisor on each one of them. That's our checking unit. All these little cards have the books of the process that is being done by any one of the engineers from all three units. And they are tabulated right to their area. Each one of the 8 checkers also go through that. They check the database because part of the checking is done also online, on screens, as well as on paper. These 2 cabinets here used to be our parcel change notices. Since when the assessor put their database, property database, it was done by hand. We kept like the 4th or 5th carbon copy. Every time a parcel is created or a new subdivision comes, the history of that parcel was written there. It was passed to ownership. A group of coders write down the legal or property description. It went to a data entry crew where they typed that into the batch process for the property database. That's from 1987 to 2005. That year we used GIS. So what our engineers do, another project, program in SQL, written .NET, whatever they use, capture the information that normally once they show you in red, parcel number, track title, lot number, unit number, condominium, and the application read that information from our land base, populates a table, writes the legal description directly from the input we had and shoots that directly to PDB. So we cut down the use of 30 people in ownership to probably about 6 or 7 just for the things that remain in parcels, but they still call some information. But the people won't get fired, they just relocate. They always bring over time. The final shot, That's a picture of our file room. We still maintain all the old tracings, all books, books that dated from the late 1800s. We use for reference, and that's just a little portion. The rest are on the other map production overview. Everybody's familiar with the workflow. We need to draw a page, we use SQL, issue a query, show me the parcel for this book and page, automatically thrown on a template, and we just finish the thing. That's our workflow. We don't have 7, 8, 10 workflows. Drafting is drafting, so. The real work is done when you have to do all the preparation, read the documents, and do all that, so we do that. Now, what we do with condominiums, that was asked too. We draw condominiums and we show them as a stack of polygons. That's how we draw them. We don't draw the tiny units and create a polygon out of that. At least not at this level. But we don't maintain that. See that page there? That is a condominium. In our base load, we don't put a parcel number. Unlike other counties, each condominium is a true parcel, it's not a subsegment of another master parcel. So our common area do not have parcel numbers. And we show in our map pages like this, what we do is we draw the maps on personal or file databases. And we use multiple views to draw all the parcels. There's two more floors of the same project. When you use this on a geodatabase environment or on a web application, you can put a single parcel, like in this case, and it highlights the entire lot. But you have your proper information for just a parcel. If you want the entire project, you can do that too, and you get all the parcels. And as you highlight the parcel, they're linked to the rest of the information. The also we can do with that, and we're starting to do that, is create 3D models of any condominium project. And then throw it also in another application, ArcGIS Pro or Explorer. And then we can make that available to the public as soon as the ArcGIS online web applications allow us to put that in there. And that's pretty much our overview. Got any questions? This is our last GIS day in November. We had the luck to invite Jack, and he had time to go there and look around. Yes?
When you showed that one page with real detail with all the parcel numbers and lots and stuff, how much of that is like truly data-driven, and how much of it is do you have to manually sort of refine the annotations?
What we do with the annotation is we read the attributes from the lines as labels. Convert to annotation, store it on the map document. We don't try to put it. Again, I remember I told you I'm this trustful person, so I don't want linked annotation to the lines. If you move a stretch, it changes. If you don't have control, weird things will happen. Nothing happen, will happen. So that's what we do. Then if we need to edit, since we do everything using code or everything's traversed, 90% of the time, there's no editing needed on the annotation. So.
Okay.
Anything else? I know there's a lot of questions, so offline.
I had a question.
Yeah.
What do you do with your manufactured homes in El Dorado County? A manufactured home space, mobile home space, can be occupied and taxed or not occupied. Do you keep a code there for as to whether or not it's taxable at that point?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you keep the polygons there?
Our work is to map them. The appraisers have to earn their keep, so they are the ones who keep track of that's assessment. That's the end of the world. We don't mess with them, they don't mess with us. They always ask our help.
But the polygon is always available on the parcel base?
Yeah, because the structure is always there. If the structure gets removed, then we kill that polygon. Okay. But if it's there, I mean, it's like a parcel. We draw the parcel, but we don't know what goes inside it. It's like Vegas.
Okay.
people to know. We just keep track of that, maintain the history, make everything information that they can available, and you see in tomorrow's presentation of GARA, how we help them, how we work with them. But yeah, no, we don't worry about things that is not mapping, pretty much.
So when you said you draw almost every single thing inside the park, draw the park, and then you draw almost everything, whether it's a house or trailer or whatever, and you guys just give that a number and then leave it up to the appraiser?
Yeah, we have signed up for some funding. They maintain the property database ownership, adds their owner name or whatever information, and the appraiser put the value. So everybody has to put the picture.
Do you ever end up with little, you know, say they draw a little trailer or a little shed or something on the map, and then just the appraiser just decides, okay, I'm just going to have no value on it, mm-hmm. and you keep that parcel?
Yeah, they will let us know. If they don't need it, then we scratch it.
They'll scratch it.
Yeah, but we try to map everything that exists.
And then do you have like an appraiser sort of review that before you actually go to publish the map?
No, we're good.
So you publish it with the numbers and then just leave it up to the appraiser and then
remember. Yeah, remember, we have our checking unit. They took care of everything that has to need to be checked and verified before it gets ID'd and sent to the run. Because what we do is we gave a lot of exposure to the maps, and we are shameless in the sense of we are not afraid of people telling me you're wrong. We fix it. I have resources to fix and do a job, but I don't have resources to search for all mistakes among this database. So if somebody pinpoints something and tells, hey, that map has something wrong, we can fix it in a jiffy. But it will take me days to find that mistake. So if I'm told what it is, I just fix it the next time, and the map is as good as it should be. All right, thank you very much.